you, Dave, and good morning, everybody. You can actually say good morning. It's nice to be here with everybody, and hope everybody's having a great Sabbath. And welcome to any visitors we have. And you know, I'm piping in some special music for you right now, in case you wonder where that music's coming from. Still going? I think they're cutting it off. All right. So I do have to say welcome to the visitors. And we have some visitors here today, which I do have to comment on. It's a little bit of a story behind that. Not sure where I should start exactly, but it wasn't too long ago in recent history. Actually, night to be is actually I turned 40 years old, and that was okay. I didn't really make a big deal about it because it's night to be, and you know I'm kind of a minimalist when it comes to birthdays and things like that. But turns out my family was planning something unknown to me. So I have today my brother and my two sisters here and my parents here, and I came in late Thursday evening. I was actually watching Tim play bass for the first time in a band, so we're up there, and my wife's telling me, "Are you coming home soon?" I was like, "Coming home soon?" I'm just telling her, "Yep, I'll be home soon." And so I'm like, you know what, you know, usually she doesn't worry too much, but it is like, you know, close to 11, so it kind of makes sense. So I come in the door of the garage, and all of a sudden my wife says something, and I kind of respond, and all of a sudden my sister and my mom and dad and everybody starts popping up, and I was sort of, I guess, stunned. So I tell them they definitely got me. So, and my brother-in-law Joey, I don't even know Joey. I don't call him Joey, but the barbershops do. So Joey, and Cambria, where's Joey? I'm gonna embarrass him. And Cambria, and so it's nice to see everybody. Nice surprise, and it definitely got me. I was really stunned and didn't quite know how to react. So it's nice to have him here, and people tell me I don't seem 40, so I think that's a compliment, I think. But Brian doesn't seem 50, and that is a compliment. So. All right, I guess I should get started here. I got to leave some room. I guess my dad said he needs a lot of time, so I better get going so I can leave him some time. And the other thing was I was on for a split sermon today. And so I'm busy getting going, working on it, because, you know, a split sermon, that's, you know, takes a lot of time. And John May was on, too. And so I guess not to ruin the surprise, they couldn't tell me. So they just kept letting me work on it. And then they came in and said, "Well, your dad's going to be here, and he wants the whole the time he needs." So so I changed subjects totally, and now I have a sermonette that I came up with yesterday. So this, we'll see how it goes. Jim Collins, I'm not sure if some of you have heard Jim Collins. Probably some of you have that are in the corporate world, but he wrote a book called Good to Great, and it's been quoted, and it's been around for several years on the bestseller list. And he has documented a handful of companies that exist that he calls great, not just good, but great, and he tries to determine what made them great. And one of the things he came up with is what he called Stockdale Paradox, the Stockdale Paradox. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today and how it relates to us. The Stockdale Paradox, which I'll describe in a minute, has a principle that we can apply to ourselves. But first, let me give you some background on the author that Jim Collins documents here about the Stockdale Paradox. It's named after Admiral Jim Stockdale, and many of you are probably aware of who he was. He was the highest ranking United States military officer in the Hanoi Hilton. I think most people know what that was. It was a prisoner of war camp during the height of the Vietnam War. And he was tortured over 20 times during his 8-year imprisonment from 65 to 73. And Admiral Stockdale lived out the war without any prisoner's rights, no set release date, and no certainty as to whether he would ever survive to see his family again. I just wanted to just read here as we get into this principle here, this document. And the author's asking him some questions and kind of trying to understand how Admiral Stockdale survived this and went through this. So he asked Admiral Stockdale, "How on earth did you deal with it when you came to actually, when you're actually there and you didn't know the end of the story?" Because, you know, the author is talking, knows the end of the story, and he's asking the Admiral, "How did you deal with this when you didn't really know the end of the story and how it's gonna work out?" And here's how he replied. "I never lost faith in the end of the story," he said, when I asked him. "I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into a defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade." And the author goes on, I didn't say anything for several minutes, and we continued the slow walk toward the faculty club. Stockdale limping and arc swinging his stiff leg that he never fully recovered from repeated torture. Finally, after about 100 meters of silence, I asked, who didn't make it out? Oh, that's easy, he said, the optimist. The optimist? I don't understand, and this is the author, I said, now completely confused, given what he had said 100 meters earlier. The optimists, oh, they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas. And Christmas would come, and Christmas would go. Then they'd say, we're going to be out by Easter. And Easter would come, and Easter would go. And then Thanksgiving, and then it would be Christmas again. And he says, and they died of a broken heart. Another long pause and more walking. Then he turned to me and said, this is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose. So it's a very important thing. You never can, must never forget that, or confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, with which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. To this day, I carry a mental image of Stockdale admonishing the optimist, we're not getting out by Christmas, deal with it. So I think this story has a very profound lesson for us. Admiral Stockdale was in a hostile environment. We are living in a hostile environment, a world whose is immersed in a spirit that is contrary to ours, in God's way of life. Yet, we have to live in the world and function and prevail. So first, my first point, really, in the lesson here is that we have to have the reality or the face of facts that we have trials. In John 15, verse 18, it says, the world hates you. And that means it's against us. It doesn't mean the person that you're walking, you know, you run across somebody in the street and they necessarily hate you. But the whole spirit of the world is contrary to how we're living. It's contrary to our way of life. And ultimately, the spirit of Satan does hate what we stand for. And that's who's leading this world right now. But we have to face the world. We have to face the fact that we're living in a world like that. Let's turn to, and we're going to have trials and tribulations. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4:12. It says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, it says a fiery trial, and the fiery here means a burning, or burning by which metals are roasted and reduced by the figure drawn out from a refiner's fire. So it's a really, you know, it's an intense trial. It also refers to calamities or trials that test the character. You know, in John 16:33, it says, if in the world you have tribulation, we have tribulation. So I think the first thing we have to realize is we are going to have problems in this world. We have trials, and I don't think that is necessarily news to anybody. I think everybody in this room has had different levels of trials and tribulation, and we can go through a whole list, and that's the way this is the world we live in, the environment we live in. Those with Admiral Stockdale who survived were those who faced the brutal facts of what was in store for them. They didn't deny or sugarcoat their situation. They mentally prepared for what was ahead of them. Wishing or hoping their situation away really wasn't an option. They came up with a strategy for dealing with the brutal facts that they were in a prisoner of war camp. The best thing we can do when we're in a fiery trial is to accept the brutal facts of our situation and begin implementing a strategy for dealing with the situation. How many times have you wished or hoped that God would just take the trial away? In a way, this is a form of escapism, you know, not much different from the way people use alcohol or drugs to just get away from the situation, deny they have problems, so they don't have to deal with their situation. Now, don't misunderstand me. You know, a successful strategy to deal with our trials includes God. But wishing for some special magical solution is not dealing honestly with our trials or our problems. Admiral Stockdale and those who survived dealt with their reality and the brutal facts. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't going to be easy, but they looked at the situation and determined how to deal with those unpleasant facts. He actually describes the prisoner of war experience as the defining event in my life, or his life, which in retrospect, he would not trade. So we really need to face the facts that we are going to have trials in this lifetime. And many people can attest to that, especially the older members. You know, there's things they probably never would have thought were going to happen to them in the church, and they've happened. Another lesson we can learn is that we need to have endurance and unwavering will that you will prevail. And that's really the other part, that you have to have an unwavering will that you will prevail. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. Paul talks about this in Hebrews. Hebrews 10, and we'll read in verse 32, starting in verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, in a way, that's a very interesting way. We all came into the truth. We were all baptized. We were all given God's insight to God's plan. And as I think was mentioned, when you're baptized, the minister hopefully said, it's not done getting easier from this point on. It's actually maybe even getting tougher. And this is really what Paul is saying here. And after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. And many people can attest to that. There's many people who say, as soon as I was baptized, life got kind of tough, and it's very interesting how that works, and that's not something that should surprise us. I think it does, but you know, it is the way it goes. Partly why you're made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly why you became companions of those who were so treated. So they had, just like us, there's friends and people they know who went through tribulations. For you had compassion on me, and this is Paul speaking, in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And yet a little while, and he is coming, and will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not to be those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. So there's a lot there, but let me just comment on a few things. First, you know, do not cast away your confidence. And it's easy to do that, but because there's a great reward there. Do not get discouraged. It's easy to just sort of cast it aside and get down and like, well, what's God really doing in my life? Why would I have this trial if God's really involved in my life? Well, do not cast away your confidence. There's probably more going on in your life right at that point than you realize. And we need endurance. And I'll comment on this a little bit more, but we need endurance. It's a big part of it. And it's definitely not a time to draw back or shrink away. It actually says in some versions, shrink away. And sometimes we're in a trial or a difficult time. That's what you feel like doing. But we need to really not draw back, but push forward. In Proverbs 24:10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's definitely should not be hopefully describing us, because we're going to have adversity today, and it may be a lot greater in the future. Let's turn to Hebrews 12, just a few pages over. We'll read verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I think that's a very interesting term, really, cloud of witnesses. It kind of refers back to the Israelites who are being led out of Israel. And they had a witness of who God was by that cloud, and they followed God. And Paul's making the point that, you know, we have, which is described in all of verse 11, all the heroes of faith, and the whole Bible really gives us the witness, is a witness to us of what God's doing and what it takes to be, when you're called by him, and all the heroes of faith and what they went through. So it's a cloud of a witness, almost similar to what, you know, the Israelites had following the cloud. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we do have to run a race. It's like running a marathon. Those who run marathons, there's times where I'm sure that their body is telling them to stop, give up, and not go any further, but it takes endurance. And we all know what that word is. Maybe some of us, some of the visitors don't. But most of us here that have been going for a while know what that word is, hupomone. It's a patient steadfastness. It's just like what Admiral Stockdale imbibes, is that unwavering will that you will prevail. Let's go on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, it's very interesting. I don't know, to read that, the joy that was set before him, Christ knew what was ahead of him. Ultimately, he would be sitting at the right hand of God. And that was the joy. And he had, and that probably describes much more than that, but the whole joy of seeing sons and daughters coming into the, being called and coming into the family. But he never lost sight of that joy that was set before him. And he's now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, as it says in Psalms 110. So let's never lose sight of that joy that's set before us. We should have that same joy that's before us. The same reward is offered to us. And that's why the holy days are so important. So important to keep the holy days. It's a constant reminder of the plan. And people who stop keeping the holy days, I think they lose sight of that calling. It's a constant reminder of the plan that God has and the incredible opportunity and joy that is set in front of us. So, brother, we do live in a hostile world. It isn't pleasant at times, and just like Admiral Stockdale, we have tormentors and those who are hostile to us, and we suffer fiery trials. Those who did not see the reality but kept the faith eventually died and didn't keep, have the faith of what was ahead of them, or what the joy was ahead of them. They eventually died, as he said, of a broken heart. They lost faith. They got depressed. Let me just finish, read another section here on page 85, if you have the book, which I don't think anybody does, but. And the author kind of comments, makes some interesting comments here. That conversation with Admiral Stockdale stayed with me, and in fact had a profound influence on my own development. And he says, life is unfair, sometimes to our advantage. And that's true. Sometimes we just have life, we're in the right spot at the right time, and things work out well. And sometimes to our disadvantage. We will all experience disappointments and crushing events somewhere along the way, setbacks for which there is no reason, no one to blame. It might be a disease, it might be an injury, it might be an accident, it might be losing a loved one. It might be getting swept away in a political shakeup, and this is talking about work. It might be getting shot down over Vietnam and thrown into a POW camp for 8 years. What separates people, Stockdale taught me, is not the presence or absence of difficulty, but how they deal with the inevitable difficulties of life. In wrestling with life's challenges, the Stockdale paradox, which is you must retain faith that you will prevail, and in the end, you must also confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, and that's the paradox he's talking about, has proved powerful for coming back from difficulties, not weakened, but stronger, not just for me, but for all those who have learned the lesson and tried to apply it. Brother, many have left over the years. You know, Christ hasn't come back in their lifetime. I know there was a lot of expectation that he'd come back in the 70s and maybe the 80s. And he didn't come back in their lifetime, and they lost hope. Trials in life wore them down. They got tired and discouraged and faded away. Our calling requires a commitment and steadfastness to stay the course, to look at Christ and his power to finish the race, and to never lose sight of the joy that is set before us if we finish the race. Let's never lose faith in the end of the story.